Today, Shia's Masech Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Tes. And we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Mem Ches, Amid Beis, the last words of the Amid. Ibailhu, the following question was asked. What will be the halacha that Eshchimera said, Nechasai, we continue discussing, as we have in the last number of Shurim, the halachas of Eshchimera, and Eshchimera said, Nechasai, that he's giving his assets to somebody else, shiyana behen mahu, that, and his words were that this person to whom he's giving his assets should benefit from those assets. Mahu, does what? How do we understand that statement? Did he mean to say that the heavy kulam atana kamer? Did he meant to say that it should be given as a gift? How will this individual benefit from these assets? He'll benefit from these assets by enjoying them. And if that's the case, by getting them and enjoying them. If that would be the case, then the halacha should be, it's a matana shchimera. Adama, l'sanam enem midi kamer. Well, what he meant to say was that he should have some minimum benefit, but he did not mean to give them completely to this individual. Another question. If he said Yira Behen, if he said the word Yira, and again the question is, should he see them as completely being his assets? If that's what he meant, that he meant to say that they should be seen as completely his assets, then it's a Matana Shchimera. Or did he just mean that they can look at these assets, but didn't mean that they should become, that the assets should become completely the property of these recipients. Yamed behem mahu. Similarly, if you use the words yamed behem, did he mean that they should become established as his, or did he mean by using those words that he could stand in them, but not that they should become his completely? Yishua behen, if he were use the word, he could rely on them. Mahu doesn't mean that he could rely on them as assets that completely belong to him, or he could rely on them to have some minimal use from them, but not to the degree that it's completely the recipients. And again, it won't be a matana shchimera. And in all these cases that the Gemara just posed, the Gemara Teiku doesn't have an answer. We learned in the Mishnah, if Baruch Hashem, as we discussed in our previous year as well, if the Shchimera Baruch Hashem gets better, so since if the Shchimera gets better, then the halacha is that whatever he gave, all of his transaction, the halacha is null and void, he could retract. Ibailhu, macha kol nechasov. What's going to be the halacha if he didn't just give it away? When we speak about a shchimera, we always speak about a shchimera as dvar k'ksuvim k'msurim dami, that there is no need for a kinyan. His verbal declaration is adequate. Do we say that even when he sold, and why is the basis? Again, we've discussed this many times. What is the basis of dvar shchimera k'ksuvim k'msurim dami? So as we've learned, the basis for Divrei Shchimera K'ksuvim K'msurim Dami is that the reason this person gave away all of his assets is because he was certain that unfortunately he's not going to make it. If Baruch Hashem, he was going to make it, he wasn't giving away all of his assets. But now the Gemara's question is, what is it based on? It's based on an umdana, as we've been discussing often. Not only is it umdana, we have been discussing that it's a umdana hamuchachas. It's a most telling umdana. This person certainly didn't give his assets away only because of, unfortunately, his situation. But for that, it's only when he gave them away with a verbal declaration. But when he sold them in a regular fashion of selling something, so the question is that still considered the same situation as the umdana muchachas, that when somebody gives it away, we could be certain that he meant to give it away only because he's a shchimera? But we say the fact that he went through the the process of selling what he's selling it in a regular fashion of sale, it's an indication that he wants to sell it and not just treat this like a matanish chemera. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, im Amar ein chayzer. If he gets better, then the halacha that a chemera can retract would not apply in this situation. The zibnim, but there were times that Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, that im Amar chayzer, that if he gets better, he can retract. So how do we reconcile these two statements? V'loy pligi. Hada istel lezuzi beinayu. If the money is still here, so that's a proof that he didn't mean to use the money. Why did he, if somebody sells something and he gets payment for what he sold, of course, under normal circumstances, he's going to use that money. Why did this shchimera keep the money separate? The reason he kept the money separate is because he knew and hoped, actually, that he's going to get better. And if he's going to get better, he's going to want to retract on the deal and give back the money. But in a case where he used the money, the printer b'chayvay, to pay off any debts that he have, so that's a proof that why did he sell it? He didn't sell it because of his shchimera status. He sold it because he needed the money. If he sold it because he needed the money, it's considered a regular sale. That's the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara. The Rimigash explains the Gemara just the opposite. If he kept the money, so then the fact that he has the money, so that is as if he still has assets. And as we've discussed many times, if a shchimera, for a shchimera's gift to be considered a valid gift, he has to give everything away. Here he hasn't given everything away. He still has this money. But if he gave away this money, indeed, because he had to pay off a chayv, but he doesn't have anything left. In a case where he gave everything back, where he has nothing left, that's when Baruch Hashem doesn't die. The halacha is that he could back off. The Rashba says that in all the cases when we speak about a shchimera backing out, retracting, it has to be that he has to explicitly make that declaration. I want to back off. And actually, says the Rashba, not only in that case does he have to make such a declaration, since, as we often discuss in our shiurim, that the assets that the shchimera gives away are only considered given away after he passes away. Until he passes away, he can back off. So even if a shchimera gave away all of his assets and then he chooses to change his mind, just making a declaration would be sufficient. Ibailahu now asked the Gemara, shchimera shahoida. If a shchimera was moida, admitted that these assets belong to someone else, mahu, what does that mean? Is this considered, as we often have in Shas, haidas baldin kamei edim? And therefore, when he admits that, of course, it belongs to the person that he admitted belongs to. Or do we say that what he's trying to do is he's trying to admit that these assets aren't his, and he's doing it because he doesn't want his children to believe that they're wealthy? So if a person has a lot of assets and his children think that their father is a wealthy person, and now they are standing to get this huge inheritance, and they're going to act in a way that he doesn't want them to act. So that's why he says this, even though it's not true. How do we look at it? And again, part of the question, or a big part of the question, is the fact that he's a shchimera, and a shchimera is different than everyone else. Tashma, Issa Geura. There was an individual whose name was Issa Geura. He had relations with Rachel, who was a daughter of Shmuel, that was kidnapped by him. And when he had the relations with her, and she became pregnant, he still was not Jewish. And the baby that was born from that pregnancy was Rav Mori bar Rachel. And now we understand where Rav Mori was called on his mother's name, not on his father's name, because when he was conceived, his father was still not Jewish. So we have Issa Geura, Havlai Tresa Alpha Zuzu Bei Rava. He had left 12,000 Zuz by Rava as a Bikodin. Ramari Bure, Ramari his son, who we just explained, Hirasa Shlaib Gedosha, was conceived when Issa Geyura was still not Jewish. However, till he was born, Leidos B'Kedusha Ava, Issa Geyura had become a Ger. Now we know that Gershon is Geir, Kekot Neshanoi L'Dami. So Remeri and Issa Geyura, according to the letter of the law, were not related. Obey Rav Hava. Remeri was sitting in the base medrash, and Isser was a shchimera, and he wanted to transfer all of his assets to his son Remeri, because if that wouldn't be the case, then given, as we just said a moment ago, Remeri and Issa Geyura were not really related, and therefore we know that if a ger passes away and he has no children, all of his assets become hefker, and whoever was the first to take ownership of those assets will become the owner of those assets. Rava was most anxious to hold on to those, to that money, and therefore Rava started discussing the various ways that Isser can transfer the assets to Ramari, and why those various options would not be applicable here. So, of course, Tosfos and many Achronim asked the obvious question: what Isser clearly wanted that this money should go to his son Ramari. And if that's the case, why would Rava try to do anything to subvert that? Isn't there a halacha mitzvah kayim divrei hameis? So the Rimi guy says that mitzvah kayim divrei hameis, well, it only applies when the money is summoned by a sholish. Here, the money was given to Rava, and Rava said, when the money was given to me, Rav Isser had the intention that I should give it, keep it, or give it to someone else. Rabbeinu Tam says that the halacha mitzvah kaim divrei ameis only applies by somebody who is in the category of Yerusha. But Isser, as we just said, being that he was a ger and halachically had no relatives, only an individual who has relatives could be in the category of mitzvah kaim divrei ameis. Isser, being a ger, didn't have any relatives, was not in the parish of mitzvah kaim divrei ameis. Another pshat that the Re says that maybe, and he at the end doesn't agree with this, he says that even though there's a din of mitzvah kaim divrei ameis, the mitzvah din of kaim ameis only applies when the mace was very clear what his intentions were. Here, it wasn't clear that what his intention was. But then Tosfos asks, based on the Gemara Masechta Kedushin Daf Yud Zayin, he says that the Gemara over there says that even in a case like we're discussing now, where this ger doesn't have any relatives, if it's quite clear what he wanted, so we have to follow what he wanted. So why was Rava trying to subvert that? So he says that here the money was by Rava as a bikkudin, and Rava had watched this money all these years, and therefore Rava was under the impression. Rava felt that since he had watched this money all the years, he deserved to keep this money. The Chazon Ish has a whole different approach. His approach was that Rava was a gabit stoka, and Rava felt that as a gabit stoka, he has to do whatever is best for the stoka projects that he's in charge of. And that's why what Rava did was he tried to subvert that this money should not end up with Ramari, because he knew if the money is going to end up with Ramari, then the stoka that he was trying to collect for would not be able to use that money. There's an interesting discussion. What would be an halacha regarding Ramari if Ramari got an aliyah? Because as we keep on saying in our shir, halachically, Ramari and Isser were not related. But Ramari, Isser did become a ger. He did raise Ramari. And the question is, why can he be called by his father's name? As we said, he was called Ramari Baruchel. That seems to be an indication that in this situation, he should be not called on his father's name. But the Shal Tshuvas Michas Yitzchak, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Lamed Vav, discuss a situation where a Jew had relations with a non-Jewish woman, and they had a son. And then this woman became a Geyrus, and they got married properly, and they raised their son as a religious Jew. And the son asked the question, can he be called up to the Torah on his father's name? Because a child that's born from a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother is not considered the child of that man because there was no marriage, there was no relationship that took place. So Michas Yitzchak wants to bring a raya from the person that we're speaking about, Mari Baruchel, that was speaking Mari Baruchel, that was called on his mother's name and not his father's name because his father was not Jewish. So we have a situation, says the Michas Yitzchak, where the halacha doesn't recognize the relationship from which this child was born, he can't be called on that name. But then he says, the fact that he was raised by these parents, even if the halacha is that the parents aren't halachically considered your regular situation of parents, the halacha is, amgali yosmatok beisoy, if somebody raises somebody in their home, kilo yoldoy, the halacha views that as if he was born. And this should not be considered any worse than raising a Yosim. And therefore he says he can be called up on his father's name. The Shas Jewish Mishnah Halachas says that yes, in regarding many situations, he can be called on the name of the person who raised him. But when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, and it seems that our Gemara is a raya to that, what we have to do is we have to use the real name. And anything that's not the real name should not be used. So Rava, as we said, was trying to subvert that these assets should not end up by Ramari. And he was trying to say, Om Rava Hechenekmina Ramari Lahani Zuzi. How could Ramari become the owner of these assets? Ibi Yerusha, if because he's the Yerush of Isser, that certainly isn't an option. Not an option. Because Labai Yerushahu, he's not, as we keep on saying in our shir, he's not really a son. And since he's halachically not considered a son, then the halacha is that he's not a Yoyrish. And Rama says a very interesting psak. He says that the halacha is that if somebody has a non-Jewish father and a Jewish son, that's the halacha is that son does inherit from his father. But says the Rama, that's only when the father remained non-Jewish. But if the father became Jewish, then it would be different and there would be no Hilchos Yerusha. Most fascinating. If the father remained non-Jewish, there would be Hilchos Yerusha. If the father didn't become Jewish, there would be no Yerusha. Ibn Matana, says the Gemara, so if we're going to say that he's going to give it to him as a matana shchimara. So now the Gemara says a very interesting halacha. Says the Gemara, matana shchimara kirusha shavi rabbanan. We know that when we look at a matana shchimara, we treat a matana shchimara like Yerusha. What do we mean when we say that we treat a matana shchimara like a Yerusha? What is unique about a Yerusha? That somebody becomes the owner of his Yerusha without any kinyan. And a Tanish Chimra also doesn't require a Kenyan. So since the halachas of Matanish Chimra and Yerusha seem to travel together, says the Gemara, Kol Echad Issa B'Yerusha, Issa B'Matana. Wherever Hilchos Yerusha are applicable, Hilchos Matanish Chimra are applicable. And Kol Echad Lesa B'Yerusha, and when Yerusha isn't applicable, Lesa B'Matana, there is no Hilchos Matanish Yerusha. So there's two ways of looking at this Gemara in the Rishonim. Some say that the perspective is from the person who's the Shchimera. And if the person who's the Shchimera is not somebody in the Parsha of Yerusha, that's the case in our Gemara, Isser, then there's no din of Shchimera. Some say it goes from the person who is the receiver. And the person who is receiving the Yerusha has to be somebody that could be a Yairish. But if it's somebody who can't be a Yairish, like our Gemara, there's no Matana Shchimera. The Im Mashicha, so Gemara, Rava keeps on examining what are the options for Isser to transfer the assets to Ramari. Im Mashicha, Lisna Gabei, they're not near each other. Mashicha means that the person receiving it takes the object, does Mashicha. Then they weren't next to each other. Ibe Chalipin, if they should have a Kenyan Suda that we discussed, where he picks up the Keli, that isn't applicable here either, because the halacha is Eimat Bey and Nikna B'Chalipin. You can't make a transaction of transferring money with a Kenyan Chalipin. I Agav Karka, a Kenyan Agav, where I sell you property, and Agav that you could have Matatlin, Leslie Ara. Issa didn't have any property that we should be able to do Kenyan Agav. Imamet Shloshtin, if we're going to try to do a Kenyan Mamet Shloshtin, which we discussed in our previous shurim, where if somebody owes me money and I say that money should be transferred to someone else, that's considered a valid Kenyan Mamet Shloshtin. But as we often have discussed, for Mamet Shloshtin Kenyan to be considered effective, all three of those parties have to be there together. And Rava said, if I will be called to participate, ishalachli, if I will be called for to come, lo yazilnu. And if all three of us aren't there, there's no kinyan ma'amid shloshtan. Says the Gemara, maskula re'ikav re'ediv ami. So Ravika asked Rava, amai, why do you say this? V'loide isa de halein zuzid ramarinenu. Why shouldn't we just have a situation where Isser will be moided that the money belongs to Amari, and the Gemara now introduces a new type of Kenyan. That's called a Kenyan Adaisa. And the definition of a Kenyan Adaisa means that if you admit that something belongs to someone else, it becomes his. Says the Gemara, Adahachi, as they were having this discussion in the base medrash, and now Isser had a way of transferring the money to Ramari. Nafka Dyson by Isser did this, and that's how Ramari was able to take ownership of this. Of this money. So says the Gemara, Ikbid Ravit. Rava was upset, and he said, "I'm come Gamamri Tanselenchi." What happened in the yeshiva that the teaching people to the right type of claims they can make, by teaching them the right claims they can make, umasterly, I Rava will lose out the money. And that's what happened. The Kenyan Adaisa was effective. But our Gemara now has introduced a new type of Kenyan that we really don't often find in Shas. And that's called a Kenyan Adaisa. Remeya Arik, in the Shas Tshuvas Imri Yosher, discusses the following situation. He says that this is in Chelik Aleph Simen Gimel. He says there was a person who lived in a village, the only Jew who lived in the village, and Pesach is coming, and the local priest who wanted to do harm to the Jews, said that no Akum should be willing to take the chametz from a Jew. Buy the chametz from a Jew. We all do mechiras chametz. And now this Jew was in a very tough place, because how was he supposed to sell his chametz if nobody wants to buy his chametz? So the Imri Yosha suggests what he should do is he should make a Kenyan Adaisa. A Kenyan Adaisa means he's moider that the chametz belongs to the non-Jew. And since he's moider that the chametz belongs to the non-Jew, that affects a Kenyan. But now we have a very fundamental discussion in all the achronim around this question. And that is, how does the halacha look at a idaisa? Is it a regular form of a kinyan? If idaisa is a regular form of a kinyan, this is a fantastic advice. The Noida Behuda, and the Shas Chuvas Noida Behuda, when he speaks about a kinyan adaisa, he says, Hakinyan hagodl shebechol kinyanim. It's the greatest kinyan that you could have, and that would be great. There are others that are hold. The kinyan adaisa is not really a full-fledged kinyan. What kinyan adaisa just means is that I'm being minded that it belongs to this person, but it doesn't actually transfer ownership. And therefore, if it doesn't actually transfer the ownership, then the halacha is it wouldn't be an effective way of doing mechiras chametz. The same halacha as we learned earlier in our masechta, that the halacha is that lekach tolchem b'yom arishin, that the halacha is that the dalaminim have to be yours on the first day of Sukkot in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. And the question is, if somebody only owns the dalaminim that he has through a kinyan adaisa, will that make that those that they're his, that they're considered his, or because it's a regular kinyan, or is it not considered his because a kinyan adaisa doesn't really have the full strength of a kinyan, and if it doesn't have the full strength of a kinyan, then it's not a way of transferring something. We learned in the Mishnah, but shai kaka kolshu, if the shchimera, if the shchimera says that he's not giving away everything, sheyer kaka kolshu, if he's still holding on to some of his assets, then even what he gave away, matanos kiyemes, the halacha is that what he gave away is considered. Some is considered as if he gave it away. Before we go further, the Chassam Sofer asks the question. I saw a different Sofer ask the question that we've been discussing throughout our shiur. The behavior of Rava in this Gemara is most difficult to understand. Issa Geyura, this was his money. It was very clear that this money was his desire that this money should be given to his son, maybe not a halachic son, but a biological son. And how is Rava trying so desperately to hold on to that money that Issa wanted to give to Ramari? So I saw that there was once a story with the Chassam Sofer where there was a person who lived in the Chassam Sofer's community who had come upon very hard times. And the Chassam Sofer became aware of this person's financial situation, and he lent him a very serious amount of money that he should be able to get back on his feet. And Baruch Hashem, he was actually successful. And this person got back on his feet and became a wealthy man again. He brought to the Chassam Sofer, when Baruch Hashem was back on his feet, back in a good financial place, he brought to the Chassam Sofer the amount of money that he owed, and he also brought a beautiful piece of silver. And the Chassam Sofer took that piece of silver and was looking at it and admiring it, and the Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer was sitting there in absolute shock. They could not understand what was going on here. Obviously, the extra piece of silver would be ribbis, would be interest, which we know we learned Pesach Bav Metziah, Perek Ezu Neshach, is a very serious isser. So, a very serious prohibition. What was the Chassam Sofer trying to do here? And then, the Chassam Sofer gave back the piece of silver to this person, and of course told him, I cannot accept this, it's ribbis. And the Talmid Chassam Sofer asked the Chassam Sofer, what happened here? So Chassam Sofer explained, I wanted to do the mitzvah of not taking ribbis, of not taking interest. So if I would have just, when he brought back the payment, just give him back the piece of silver and say, I can't receive it. So I didn't receive it. By showing how much how beautiful this piece of silver was and how desirable this piece of silver was, and I still am refusing to take it, what was I showing? I was showing that I want to do the mitzvah Hashem. So I saw the Mefarshim explain, and that's how we are to understand what Rava did here. Rava was trying to show that even though Rava's intention was never that Ramari should not get the money. Of course, his intention was that Ramari should get the money. It was very clear that that's what Issa wanted. But what Rava was trying to show was that even though halachically I could come up with a reason that Ramari should not get the money, but I know Issa wants that. So even though that's the case, I'm going to give back the money. Shai ka kakashu. We learned in the Mishnah that if he left over some property, then it's not, and he didn't give everything away, then it's not considered a matana shchimara. So as the Gemara, kama kolshu, what is the definition of a kolshu? Amar Yehuda Marav, karka kadei panasasa, the amount, the karka that he could have panasa from what comes out of this property. Yirme ba'amar matatlin kadei panasasa. It doesn't have to be real estate, anything that he could have panasa from is enough to be considered that it's not going to be matana shchimara. Amar Rav Zera, kama mechavnen shmatz d'somi. What Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Rabbi Yirmiyah said, is so clear. Karka tamamai. What's the reason that if he left over some property, he can't back out? Dikoy somechalei. Because if he'll get better, he'll have what to live off. Matatli nami. So the same thing is if he left himself matatli, ikoi, if he'll get better, samachalai, he'll have what to live from, and therefore there should be no difference if he left over karko matatlin. Ask the Gemara, or maskula Rav Yosef, my kavanasa, why are you saying that what they said is so great? Manda amar matatlin, why would you say that matatlin is also considered that he left something over? But the Mishnah said karka. The Mishnah said clearly karka tanan. Furthermore, the opinion that said kidei panasasoi, that how much does he have to leave over, that it should be considered that he left over kidei panasasoi. But again, he asks, that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah koshu tanan asked the Gemara, omale abaya, to Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi says to Rabbi Yosef, what you're asking now is such a great question. The kol hecha detani karka, is that the way that we define that wherever the Mishnah uses the word karka, karka dafka, it always means only property. For Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Peah, Paragimel Mishnah Ches teaches us, hakosu kol nechosov l'avdoi, if somebody writes over all of his assets to his Eved Kanani, and his Eved Kanani is considered one of those assets, by giving everything to the Eved Kanani, that Yotze Mechayrim, the Eved Kanani goes out free. However, if he didn't give away everything, Shayer Karka Koshu, if the person retained for himself some Karka, La Yotze Ben Chayrim, because we could say that when the owner said Chutz Mikarka, he meant the Eved. Rishimon Aimer, Lailam Ben Chayrim, but if he didn't say that, just because he left over karka, that it doesn't mean that he left over the eved. So, but what do we see here? What we see from here is that somebody uses the word karka, and it means everything. It means including an eved. V'amar Avdimi continues the Gemara. V'amar Avdimi ber Yosef Amar Belazo. Also, matatlan shira to eved, even though the Mishnah used the word karka kol shehu, if he left over matatlan, it's also that the eved doesn't go free. But loy also matatlan shira to ksuba, that the halacha is that if somebody gave over all of his assets to his sons, and we learned this halacha, but he gave over to his wife some property, and the wife remained silent, that silence is translated that she gave up her ksuba. Because we say that by her accepting that property, she agreed to give up the claim to the ksuba. And since when we speak about a ksuba, we know somebody, all of somebody's property is meshubed, is mortgaged to the ksuba. So if he gave her property, even though if he gave her property, that's how she gives up the ksuba. But what do we see from here, back to the beginning? Also metatlam shiurei tzelevet. That even though the Mishnah used the word karka kal shehu, it doesn't mean dafka karka, it can mean metatlan. So in our Mishnah too, he suggests that even though the Mishnah said that the shchimer left over karka, it can mean metatlan. Answers the Gemara, the two situations are not the same. Hasam, but didn't who the loy listen to karki. He doesn't have to use the word karka. Because as we just said, as long as he left over assets for himself, we have a way of saying that he did not mean to leave, to give the Eved freedom. And therefore, I did Tani Risha, since the Mishnah before that said Karka, therefore here too it said Karka, even though it doesn't have to say Karka. What does it say before? Rabbi Kiva, I'm a Karka Koshu, if you own even the most minimal amount of property, Chayevus Pepeya, Ubi Kurim, Lichtalayim Prusbel. This halacha that we've learned many times. The halacha is that Shemitah cancels all loans. But Hill instituted a prosbul. And what a prosbul means is that you give over your loans to Besdin, and therefore they're protected. They're protected from Shemitah. But the halacha is that a prosbul is only effective if the person, the loiva, has some karka. And the Rishonim explain, why does the loiva have to have karka in order to be protected, in order for the prosbul to be effective? And there are two reasons. One reason is because people normally don't lend money unless the loiva has karka from where he could collect the debt. And Hillel wanted to institute the prosbul to follow the way that it works in a normal loan, and a normal loan is karka. That's one pshat. The other pshat that the Rishonim suggests is that if somebody has karka, it's as if the loan is already being paid back because he has a mortgage on the karka. So when you're collecting the loan that passed Shemitah, really that loan has begun collected by the karka shibud. But if there's no karka, the loan hasn't begun to be collected. We can have what's known as a kinyan agav. We spoke about it earlier in our shir. If you buy property, agav, the property could take metatlin. Shemachi, so since in that Mishnah, these halachas that we just spoke about are all speaking specifically about karka, property, the next Mishnah also said the word karka, but not that karka does or doesn't include, not that karka does or doesn't include metatlin. The Mishnah spoke here about that we just had, that what is enough that for a shchimera to be considered sheer karka, that it should not considered enough. So we had one said kolshu, and the other man said kedei panasosai, enough to support himself. But what the Gemara didn't identify is how much to support himself. So the Itta says it means that he left over enough to support himself for 1 year. If a shchimera retained enough property to sustain himself for a year, that means that's not a matana shchimera. This Rosh disagrees. He says 1 year is not sufficient because if the shchimera is assuming that Baruch Hashem is going to live, he's not hoping and assuming that he's only going to live for 1 year. And therefore, the Rosh says that when it says kedei panasosoi, it means that he left over enough that he's going to have a constant source of income. And if he left over enough that this should serve as a constant source of income, then it won't be considered a matana shchimera.